In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. This life, it is a magnificent gift. Every new morning, every hour, every moment we draw breath, our creation, our preservation, all the blessings of this life, all of it, it is pure gift. And who is the giver? We hear from St. James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. What is it all for? All the abundant gifts we receive from the Father, our bodies, our souls, the hours, the days, the years that are entrusted to us. What is it all for? Is it not that we find our greatest joy in worship? That we offer ourselves completely to the Lord with all that He has given us? That we worship Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all our mind, all of our strength? Isn't this life, this magnificent gift, isn't it given that we might devote ourselves to serve our great God and to serve our neighbors, not ourselves? I'm less than 3 minutes into this Ash Wednesday homily, and I've already preached beyond myself. It's an open secret. We preachers, we preach the faith that we ourselves are pursuing. Who among us could give an unequivocal yes to these questions? Yes, I offer myself entirely to the Lord. His worship is my highest ambition. Yes, each new day that is God's gift to me, I have renounced myself that I might serve God and my neighbor. Who among us can say yes to these questions? These are Lenten questions. Ash Wednesday, you see, it begins the season of radical self-honesty. This liturgy today, it will not allow us to live in delusion. When you receive ashes on your forehead in a moment, when you hear the priest address you with the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return," you know that you've entered a season to examine ultimate questions. You've been given life, you've been given breath, a magnificent gift, and one day you will draw your last breath, as will I. He who faces these ultimate questions with humility need not fear that final day. She who examines her soul and offers her heart to Christ anew need not be haunted on that final day by regrets that she held back her heart, that she held back her soul, her very life. There is no greater calling than that which St. Paul announced to the Corinthian Christians. We implore you, he said, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So where your attention and where your priorities have been scattered, where ambitions have led you astray, where your mind has been distracted, where your heart has been divided, the church says today, come home. Come home. Be reconciled again to God. Life is too precious and it's too short to squander these gifts in vain pursuits. Your life, mine too, it will be an offering, one way or another. It will be an offering. The question is, to whom will you offer your life and all the gifts that have been given to you? You and I, we will make sacrifices, one way or another, we will. The question is, to what, God help us, or to whom will we make our sacrifices? Will you make offerings? Will you make sacrifices to the only God who is worthy of our worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or will lesser idols receive the sacrifices of our time, our finances, our very heart? Will they receive the sacrifices on their altars? It's time to look within and examine these questions. And when we look within, when each of us inevitably see that we have made sacrifices, we have offered our lives to things that are passing away, we've offered so much to things that don't really matter, when we've given ourselves to those things that increase my self-love, when I see that I've built my life to be always comfortable, for everything to be convenient to my needs, then one asks, how do I begin again? How do I begin again? And there's one answer: the cross of Jesus Christ. It's an answer that does not make sense at all to the world. For us, it is the wisdom of God. This is how we begin again. Take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God came to offer himself totally, his body, his mind, his soul, to offer it as a total sacrifice to the Father that we might be saved. And not only that we would be saved from our sins, but that we might offer and present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, that we might be holy and acceptable to him, offering ourselves for his kingdom. This was the earnest desire. We heard it a moment ago from St. Paul when he addressed the church at Corinth, the church he pastored. He said, "We appeal you to not receive the grace of God in vain." Paul himself, he had been delivered by the grace of God. Paul was offering his life, was sacrificing so much to persecute the church of Jesus Christ, but then Christ came to him. Paul was baptized into Jesus Christ, and thereafter he patterned his life after the Lamb of God. "I have been crucified with Christ," Paul said. "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What Paul commended to the Corinthians, do not receive the grace of God in vain. He not only said it in instruction, he showed them by example. He was imitating with Timothy the Lamb of God. He took up his cross to follow Jesus. Here's what Paul did with the great gift of life and the great gift of grace and redemption, the greatest gift given in Jesus Christ. We heard it a moment ago. Let's hear it again. Paul said, "As servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything." The holy word of God, the awesome word of God. Thanks be to God. And these, my brother and sister, are the words of a man who took and received the gift of grace and then poured himself out as a living sacrifice. How else could he honestly say, I have nothing, and yet I possess everything? He poured himself out and received all that God gave. We need holy examples like St. Paul in our pursuit of holiness to orient us on the right path. And though we don't have the same calling as St. Paul, though we may not know a fraction of what he suffered for the gospel, the heart of the calling remains the same. Let us not receive this great gift of grace of God in vain. And that brings us to the practices of Lent. How then do Lenten sacrifices work? Those classical disciplines we emphasize in this season, prayer, fasting, scripture, confession, and almsgiving, how do they work? It's really quite simple, actually. They are training us to bring all the gifts that we've received in this life and then convert them into worship. Worship of the one true God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is what any discipline is all about. They lead you to offer your life for Christ, to love and serve your neighbor as our Lord commanded us. That is the goal of every Lenten discipline. So however you take up the disciplines of this Lenten season, remember that's the goal. The disciplines that we take up, they are not checklists or fitness plans or diet plans for personal enrichment. They're not those things. Isaiah taught us and Jesus taught us long ago, we can take holy things and we can make them about ourselves. Now, if God does bring personal benefit through spiritual disciplines, that's his kindness, that's his grace. But that's not our pursuit. We are seeking to become like the Lamb of God who took up his cross, who became a sacrifice for us, who loved us and gave his life for us. This life, it's a magnificent gift. And Lent teaches us what to do with this life, with all the gifts God has given. So let Ash Wednesday and let these 40 days begin with purpose. Let them begin with intention. And I would also say, which may sound counterintuitive, begin modestly too. Do not try to cram a lifetime calling to holiness into these next 40 days. Don't make the same mistakes I have done. Simply pray that you can make a good beginning. Not only for this Lent, but for the rest of your days, for however many years God has given you in this life. When you think about pursuing Christ this Lent and beyond it, think of the land. What does soil need for its own health and the health of the plants it nourishes? Certainly it needs sunshine, but soil also, it needs steady, gentle, and regular rain. And when soil, if it has suffered from a lack of rain, or when the ground is dry and hardened, and if heavy or sudden rains come, downpours, they won't reach the depths. You get flash floods instead. Your soul doesn't need a flash flood of spiritual effort. We need instead steady, regular, gentle disciplines to nourish our soul with grace, to reach the depths, to nourish us there, so that our souls make us into a living sacrifice of worship for God. You see, I have no illusions that God's workmanship of my soul is going to be complete by Easter Sunday. No, Lent trains us for actually another day. It's that day that remains in the hidden counsels of God, the day that we draw our final breath. There was a saying among ancient Christians when a brother or sister in Christ died. When they breathed their last, Christians would say, "He has been perfected. She has been perfected." That's the gospel. You see, in the mystery of God, all our spiritual efforts, they're taken up into our God, but now and then, it will be the grace of God alone that will perfect us. That's true now. It'll be true on our dying day. And so I offer to you the wisdom of St. Paisios the Athenite to make a good beginning this Lent. St. Paisios, who said, "Go and do what you can, and God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself." So lead us, Lord, to make a good beginning today, that we may glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and unto ages of ages. Amen.